gift that you have given to us in your word, the Bible, and that you speak to us today. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and give us understanding this day of what you are saying and how to be able to live it in our everyday lives. Father, lead us into your truth, I pray, and may we be changed to be like Jesus as a result. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today, once again, we're honored to have the Cub Scouts and their families, and we're privileged to be able to be this year the charter organization as a church for that, and we are happy for that partnership, and thanks for meeting here. It's a privilege to be able to share the facility and to partner on days like this together, so we are thankful. You guys have had some cool activities this year, right? I think I saw, was it this year, I saw pictures of snakes? Yeah. Any of you hold a snake? Any of you say, I'm absolutely not touching a snake? That would have been me if I was here, yeah. And I know there were some other cool events that were planned, right? You've had some cool activities to go to, and you got some parents that love you guys and want to give you some great experiences, which is great. But the greatest experience, tell me if I'm right or wrong, the greatest experience is the Pinewood Derby, right? Yeah? Yeah? All right. So this one I made when I was in fifth grade. I know that because it says Mark Conklin 5. So I was in fifth grade when I did this, and the best I ever did in the Pinewood Derby was third place. Any of you win this year? Ooh, we got... Congratulations, good job. Now, I only got third. That was the best I got, and here's the reason why. I had some friends that were involved in the group that I was involved that made these, and their dads were engineers for a company that made parts for General Motors. And they made these cars, and then their dads took them to work and put the cars in the wind tunnel to be able to see how aerodynamic their cars were, and then they sanded them down, and those cars went flying. And look at mine. It's about as non-aerodynamic as you can get. But I loved making these cars. It was a great experience. And I wish that I had been able to come and watch you guys, but I had just hurt my knee playing basketball, which is why I'm still limping around. But hopefully next year I'll be able to come and watch your cars go flying down the track. But it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad you guys have been able to have lots of fun doing it. And as much as these events are great, as much as these events are provide fun, I believe one of the greatest things that you guys are involved in, whether you understand it fully now or not, is the reality of becoming leaders. Is that true? Okay. Now, I want to talk today just for a few minutes about being great leaders. Now, does this look familiar? All right, can you guys say the Scout oath or promise with me? All right, and how about this? Is it all right if everybody else joins in? Is that all right? That's not against the rules or anything, is it? Okay. All right. So let's all say the Scout Oath. For some, it may be the first time you've ever seen this. For others, it may be something that you do regularly. Okay? So let's say the Scout Oath. Ready? On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. It's good. And then, now, the Scout Law, a scout is, now, do you say all those two? Okay, so now do you want to go, let's go top to bottom from left to right. Okay, let's say those together. So a scout is thrifty, brave, clean, reverent, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly. Boy, I tell you what, if we were all those kinds of things, this world would be a pretty good place, wouldn't it? So there are some wonderful, wonderful values that are there that I think we can all get behind. And I was looking on the scouting.org website, and it said, for almost a century, scouting has instilled in young men the values and knowledge that they will need to become leaders in their community and country. And so I think those are great, great things to become great leaders in our community and in our country. And so I want to talk for a few moments this morning about what Jesus says, too, about what it means to be a great leader. And I think you'll find a lot of these things are going to be very similar, because Jesus had some pretty good things, just as these are really, really good things. John chapter 13, so that we can be leaders in their schools, could be leaders on your sports team. Anybody play sports? Be leaders on your sports team. You could be leaders in your Cub Scout pack. Anybody play musical instrument? All right, so you can be leaders in your musical groups. You can be leaders on the playground. You can be leaders with your friends. For moms and dads and the rest of us, we can be leaders in the workplace, in our homes, in our families, in our churches. There isn't a shortage of places where we can be leaders. So for all of us today, Jesus has a lot to tell us, and his example gives us a lot to follow for what it means to lead well. All of us have the privilege to be leaders. So if you got one of those bulletins that the Cub Scouts gave out, there are some sermon notes you can fill in if you want to. You don't have to, but it's just a way to follow along. Simple blanks. Today, when we talk about great leaders, we'll find that great leaders are servant leaders. Great leaders are servant leaders. In our world today, many times we think that being a great leader means that you have to get on top and you have to stay on top. That it's about being strong and powerful and about telling others what to do. Wouldn't that be fun? Just to get on top and then tell everybody else what to do. Do you guys ever play King of the Hill, King of the Mountain? Do you ever play that game, or is that, you do? Something similar? Where you try to get up on, you try to get to the top of a mountain or on top of the playground, and then everybody else is trying to get you down? Yeah, yeah. That's how we think of leadership a lot. We think of it as, I got to get on top, and then everybody else, I'm going to keep them down. I'm going to keep them away because I want to stay on top. But we'll see in a few moments as we look to what Jesus did, that leadership is not always about getting on top and getting to what I want done, but it is about other people first. The greatest leaders are the ones who serve others, who give of themselves to make others great rather than making themselves great. Jesus told us, and he demonstrated, it's not about always being on top, but it's about making others great. Being a servant. So, in order to do this, we can serve others. The way to do this first, two ways to do it. First is to serve others like Jesus did. And so if you have a Bible, or I'll put it up here on the screen, John chapter 13, verses 2 through 5, it says this, that the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. Jesus was in the midst of the most important meal and the most important time for his people, the Jews. It was the Passover, and it was the time that they celebrated how God had rescued them from being slaves in Egypt. God did some amazing, powerful things. He parted a whole sea so that they could walk through on dry ground, and he delivered his people. He rescued them out of slavery in Egypt from the most powerful country in the world, the Egyptians. And so God's people, the Jews, and Jesus was a Jew, and he was gathering with his followers, his disciples, to celebrate this most important event in their history. Kind of like we celebrate the 4th of July, how our country celebrates independence. This was their celebration of the most important event in their history, that they, God had set them free. And so as they were gathering around to celebrate this meal, they had a whole meal that would help them to remember it. And as they were getting ready, they were in a room upstairs, but something was missing. No one had washed the disciples' feet. Now, you got to understand, in that day, in Jesus' time, they didn't have cars. And they certainly didn't have paved roads. They had roads that were dirty, They had roads that many times animals had gone to the bathroom on, and it was gross. It was hot, it was dirty, it was dusty, and none of them had nice shoes like all of you have. They either went barefoot or they had a nice pair of sandals. But because their feet were so exposed to all this dirt and animal droppings and dust, all this yucky stuff, in this hot climate where their feet would get sweaty, what do you think their feet were like when it was all said and done? What do you think? Nasty, right? You got dirty, smelly, yucky, caked on feet. Anybody excited about washing somebody's feet that had just walked through mud and animal droppings? You want to do it? You're the man. It was not a job that anybody wanted to do. In fact, a slave, the youngest servant, usually a young boy or a young girl, would be the one who would come in and they would take a basin, a bowl, and a pitcher of water, and they would pour it over a person's feet, and they would wash all of that nastiness off their feet. It was a job that no one wanted, and only the lowest of the low did. But yet, Jesus, the greatest person on earth, God in the flesh, does something that was so crazy. The highest, most powerful, most greatest person to ever walk the face of the earth did the yuckiest, lowliest job. He came to his disciples and one by one went around the table and he washed their feet. It was an amazing, amazing demonstration that Jesus did. What should have happened is all of his followers should have rushed to Jesus and said, "I'll be the one, Jesus. You're so great. You're so powerful. You're the greatest person. Well, wash your feet." But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist and got the water and he got the bowl and he washed their feet. It's a pretty amazing, amazing thing. Jesus was showing them something very powerful. After he had finished, it says in John chapter 13, verses 12 through 7, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he asked them this question, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord," which means you're my master, or you're the one, you're my boss in charge of me. "And rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus tells his followers that if you want to be great, then you need to do what I did for you. He told them that greatness is not measured by how many people wash your feet, but greatness is measured by how many people's feet you wash. He said, if you want to be great like me, it's not about being high and powerful and in charge. It's about humbling yourself and serving other people. It's about doing the hard things. It's about helping your family and your friends. It's about at work, if you're in a position of leadership, making others great, not looking to them to make you great. Servanthood. Jesus says, if I did it, then you can expect to do it too. And look at that last verse. What does he say will happen? That if you do these things, if you serve others, what will happen to you? What does it say? You will be blessed. I can tell you there are some amazing blessings that come when you help others. You know that you have been doing what God has called you to do. Serve others like Jesus did. I want you to know that Jesus didn't just stop at washing people's feet. he did something even greater. Because that night, after he had that meal, he was arrested, even though he never did anything wrong. And the following morning, the people were angry, and they sentenced him to die on a cross. Even though Jesus had done nothing wrong, he knew that the only way for you and I to have a right relationship with God that's been broken by sin is if Jesus stood in our place and died to pay for our wrongs, our sins. So Jesus didn't just wash his feet, his disciples' feet. Jesus gave his life for those very same men, and he has given his life for us, that anyone who would ask him to be their Savior and have a right relationship with God. Jesus is a wonderful example, the greatest example of what a leader does. He serves and gives his life for others. Serve others like Jesus did. One other thought that I want to share about what makes a great leader, and that's this. It's to allow others to serve you. Now, this may sound like the total opposite. First, we're going to serve others, but great leaders don't just serve others, but they also allow others to serve them. Not make others serve them, but allow others to serve them. In John chapter 13, verses 6 through 11, this is right in the middle of all of what I read. He came to Simon Peter, who was a really, really strong leader. He was the guy who was the leader of Jesus' followers. He was a guy who was a go-getter. He was a guy who got things done. He was a guy, when everyone else was afraid, he stepped out and did courageous, bold, wild things. It often got him in trouble, but it was his personality of being out there. And so Jesus comes to Simon Peter, and he said, and Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." What does Peter say? What does it say there right after the eight? Does he say, "Yes, go ahead"? What does it say? All right, everybody together. What does he say? "No. You shall never wash my feet." Then, "Lord," Simon Peter, or Jesus answered, "unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter replied, "Then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you," for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." See, here is Peter, who understands who Jesus is. He understands that Jesus is the greatest person to ever walk the face of the earth, that he is God in a human body. And he says, "No way, Jesus. You are not going to wash my feet." Uh-uh. He knew, and so he knew the way to go was for him to wash Jesus' feet. But Jesus said, "Listen, if you won't let me wash your feet, then you cannot be one of my followers." Peter had a hard time letting Jesus serve him. For people who are humble and who are servant leaders, sometimes the greatest difficulty we have is to let others help us. There are many people who are really, really good at serving and helping others. But when it comes to somebody else, helping or serving them, it's, "Oh no, I got it. Don't do that for me. I'm strong. I got it together. I'm good. Go help somebody else who needs help." But it's the same attitude all the way around. A humble person will serve other people, but a humble person will also let others serve them. It's both sides of the coin. Great leaders serve others, and great leaders let others serve them. It's the way the world goes around, so to speak. Great leaders, we all have the opportunity and the privilege to be able to be great leaders. When I was in college, I was privileged to be able to do an internship with one of my greatest mentors. He was my youth pastor at my church. And so I was able to spend a whole summer with him, being able to learn what it was like to be a pastor so that I could do what I'm doing today, and specifically how to do it at that time with youth. And so he was a guy, this was it, he had lots of responsibility. He had people that were reporting to him. He was a great leader. And one day, he disappeared for a while, like a couple hours. And I was working, doing stuff, and I was looking for him, and I didn't know where he went. No one had any idea in the whole church where he had gone. So finally, he came back, and I was joking around with him, all right, where'd you go? And he's like, not a big deal. Well, I thought he was skipping out on work. So I pressed him a little bit. I was like, oh, come on, where'd you go? You were probably out playing golf or something like that. Where'd you go? And he said, oh, no, it's not a big deal. And I kept annoying him and annoying him. Come on, tell me where you went. Tell me where you went. And finally said, all right, if you really need to know. He said, I was cleaning all the toilets in the whole bathroom. What? You were cleaning all the toilets in the bathroom. We have people in the church that get paid to clean the toilets in the bathroom. Why were you cleaning toilets in the bathroom? And he said this. He said, sometimes I have to remind myself that I need to do the smallest jobs, the jobs that no one else would want to do on their own. And I learned at that moment that being a good leader, being someone who is really good at being in charge, is not about everybody celebrating you, but sometimes it's about doing things that nobody else would want to do to help others out. Jesus did the littlest job, the yucky job, to show us that to be a great leader, we serve one another. But also for us too, to remember that we need to allow others to serve us as well. They're good lessons from Jesus. He didn't just say it. He actually did it. And we can do it as well. So, I got two guys to help me. Can you guys come on up here? And Steph and Becky are going to help you guys help everyone. We're going to practice this for a few moments. I have here some baby wipes. And I need you guys and these ladies to give every single one of us two baby wipes. Because in our world, our feet, they might get a little smelly sometimes by the end of the day, right? But we don't get dirt and mud and animal stuff all over our feet like in Jesus' day. But what get really, really dirty if we don't wash them throughout the day? Our hands. So we're going to practice, once everybody gets two of these, we're going to take a few minutes, and this might be terribly uncomfortable, and it's okay to be uncomfortable. It's all right. We'll all be uncomfortable together. But we're going to look for two people, and we are going to wipe their hands with these baby wipes, one each, so we're not giving other people each other's germs, okay? Two people, one baby wipe each, and we're going to wash somebody else's hands. We're going to practice being a servant, humbling ourselves and serving one another, but we're also going to practice letting others serve us, okay? So, everybody, we're going to take a moment, pass those out, and then as they're coming, when you get yours, I want you to be thinking, who can I wash the hands of? And if you're visiting, you can just hang out and wash each other's hands. That's fine. But if Dorseyville, if this is your church home and family, I would ask you, if you're able to get up and move around, to go to somebody that you wouldn't normally wash their hands. We'll get really uncomfortable this morning with that. And we're going to spend a few moments here washing one another's hands, serving one another, and being served. So when you have yours, and you know of somebody that you can go to, feel free and get up and move around and start washing somebody's hands. hands with those baby wipes. All right? We'll take a few moments until everybody's done, and then we'll gather back together. Keep on going, take your time, but you just hold on to them. In a moment, we'll come by and pass them down, and we'll trash them so you don't have to hold on to them after. But you can keep on doing this as long as until everyone's done. Steph and Becky are going to come down the middle. If you want to just pass your used wipes down to the center, and then they'll collect them and throw them out. Thank you, everyone, for participating in that. I know sometimes we're used to, in church a lot of times, just sitting and being observers. But I believe that worship is about participating. And we participate as we sing. We participate as we listen. But in this way, we participated by applying it and doing it one to another. So thank you for taking that courageous, out of your comfort zone kind of step. We appreciate it very much. And thanks to the guys for helping us out, passing. So it's been a privilege for us to be able to share this morning of worship. We're going to sing one more song in a moment. But let's pray and just ask that the Lord would impress upon us our need to serve one another, and that he would make us great, great leaders. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the fact that he was not just one who talked a good talk, but that he lived the very things that he has taught us to live out. Thank you, Jesus, for humbling yourself to become a man. Thank you, Jesus, for serving. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for us. And we rejoice today, even as we look forward to Easter and this Lenten season, that you, Jesus, that you are not dead, but that you are alive. And we celebrate the fact that you are our risen Savior. Father, would you make us more like Jesus, a great servant leader, ones who humble ourselves, serve others, and ones, too, that are willing to let others serve us, too. Thank you, Lord. Would you be glorified as we sing this closing song and as we would go from here this day. We give you praise and we give you thanks for you are good. You are good. In Jesus' name. So go. Thanks, everyone, for coming. We're really happy to have you all here. Go leaving rejoicing in Jesus, but also go being like him, serving others, being great leaders where you find yourself planted. God bless you all, and have a wonderful day. Go in his peace. Amen.